From the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Oh, I said hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercies. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. I pray the Lord, you will speak to our hearts. You will affect our lives. You help us. You not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. You want to shake one or two people, tell them it's good to see you tonight. God bless you, and you may be seated. Are you glad to be here tonight? Okay. So Tuesday evenings, we are looking at curses, not indecent language or foul language or profane language, but we're looking at curses. We've looked at the definitions of curses. Do you remember them? We went through 10 of them. So don't tell me you don't understand what a curse is. So probably just to recap before we move on, what can you tell me about the definition of a curse? Do we have a microphone going around? What do you remember about the definition of a curse? Who can help us? The definition of a curse. Reverend Ralph, really? So what about the people we came to preach to? They can't tell us what we've been telling them. I'd disqualify Reverend Ralph, unless he wants to pass his microphone. Maybe it's a microphone. Daddy, Brother Samuel has something to say. Let's hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Where is the brother going to go around and all of that? Yes, Brother Samuel.
What do you Hallelujah.
Mean? Amen.
One of the curses, a woman should not have sex before marriage.
That's a serious one. Where's your legs? Are you hearing? All right, Brother Samuel has spoken. We went through 10 definitions of a curse. And you didn't stand up to say anything, so don't bring yourself. Maybe if you had stood up, it would have been a little different. So who will tell us what you remember about the definition? Is it when you come to this church, you have to write notes, you know? Are you with me? You have to write notes, so that when you are asked any question, you will know what to say. Because this one, I'm not telling you that you should say, No. It's not normal. I'm sure you wrote some things down. Somebody wants to say, tell us one of the definitions. Yes, my dear.
A curse is something that is constantly frustrating you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, curses could be in any form. It could be like the Obia man have his chorus that he would put on you. Uh-huh. Then you have the chorus of
yeah, it's working. It's a wish, like a curse is like a bad wish that somebody wishes you. That's like the Obia man, you go in and they say so provoke or you know, cast some spell. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good.
We have the chorus that Jesus placed on women.
Okay. That's what that Brother Samuel was trying to bring up. Amen. Wow, you want to give us all the 10? Okay, all right. I don't mind. Yes, that's a good one. You want to put your hands together for Sister Marcy, isn't it? I say, you are sitting down. You better clap your hands. If you don't clap your hands, may your hands freeze. Aha. Okay. You see, now you don't want your hand to freeze. Your face.
A curse is when something bad is wished.
Take a time.
A curse is when something bad is wished on you or demoting our inferiority. Or if someone wished something bad on you from childhood, it could come to pass.
Wow. That's good. That's good. It's working. I see another young lady on the left there, Destiny. What do you remember from the definition of curses?
Sentence to demotion and inferiority.
A curse is to be sentenced to demotion and inferiority. Good. A
curse is any expressed wish towards somebody or like, for instance, as you use an example, somebody wish something on you and or somebody would go to places to do things to you.
Right. Good, good. Remember the fugitive and the vagabond? You remember that? You always be running. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Sister Figuera? Yes, yeah, say it.
A curse is an appeal of supernatural power inflicted on someone.
So an appeal of what?
Supernatural power.
Uh-huh.
To inflict either...
To inflict what?
Evil.
Yeah, you have to bring that adjective.
Evil on someone, causing either death or injury.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going ahead. We're going on. Want to look at... There are three categories of curses. Three categories of curses. Number one, or Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. Let's read our verse before we go on. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 3. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there and his servants will worship him. So the Bible is saying that there are curses here. Which babies are doing the like that? I'll send them out. This is no baby service. This is an adult service. So all babies should go away. Any baby that's making noise should be taken outside. Right? When they keep quiet or when they sleep, then you bring them back. No babies are allowed to make noise. Because this is not actually their church. Except that we don't know where to keep them, isn't it? You should lock them up in a room somewhere. So we'll have a good fun. All right. So tell the babies, no baby. Judy, tell all the babies, no baby. I don't hear any baby's voice. Yeah. No baby's voice. Babies, you hear? I'll send you out. Good. Quiet. Put your finger on your lip like that. Like we used to do in Sunday school. So there are three categories of curses. The first category is what we call the global curses. Global curses. Global. There are curses that are global. I mean, it's a worldwide curse. The global curses are curses that came upon the earth from the very beginning. and have consistently and continuously affected the whole wide world. Three categories of curses we're looking at. Are you there? The first is global curses. A global curse are curses that came upon the earth from the very beginning and have consistently and continuously affected the whole wide world. Second category is the Bible curses. The Bible curses are common things we all know that the Bible has named as cursed. So the global curse is the curses that came upon the earth from the very beginning and have consistently and continuously affected the whole wide world. Nobody exempted. Bible curses are common things we all know that the Bible has named as cursed. For example, if you do not honor thy parents, we know the Bible has said something about it shall not be well with you and your days will not be long. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is a Bible curse. The third curse, category of curse, is custom-made curses. Custom-made. And when you go to so these kind of celebrities, when they want the vehicles, they don't buy the vehicles that we drive. They go to the car manufacturer, and if they want a Toyota Spazio, they say, no, not just the regular Spazio. My Spazio, don't give it a rim 14 or rim 12. Give me rim 18. You get it? Or don't give me a 7-seater. Give me about 10-seater. So that is a little or somewhat different from the regular Spazio that people drive around Georgetown. So when you say custom made, it's something that you have gone, you have actually, it has been ordered. Tailor is a tailor made. It is according to your taste, your choice, and your preference. When we look at custom made curses, are curses pronounced by individuals on others because of an offense committed against the individual. Are you there? So custom made curses are curses pronounced by individuals on others because of an offense committed against the individual. Right? So for example, when Joshua, when they defeated, I think was it Jericho? Jericho they defeated, and then Joshua made a declaration that anybody who builds while they are building, their relatives will die. It's a custom made. It's very, you know, things that an individual says. So the global curses, the Bible curses, and the custom made curses. Now, we're going to focus on the global curse. Are you with me? We're going to focus on that because out of that, we have something very, very interesting that we will, what we want to learn. And the global curses, number one. Masha, is that you? Global curses. The first global curse is a curse on men. A curse on men. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. What does it say? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. He goes on to say that thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. This is the global curse on men. If you're a man, I said, if you're a man, you have to go through this curse. You have to struggle. You have to hustle. To get food on the table for your family, you got to struggle. There's nothing easy. Even if you're going to thief, it's not easy to thief. I've never seen any thief who doesn't struggle. In fact, those thieves who are not wise, they are the ones who get caught and beaten up and all that. Wise thieves, they don't get caught, you know, for a long time. Yeah, even thieving that you think that somebody is coming to take, deprive you of what you have worked hard for. It's not easy to thief. Because the person you are going to thief from shouldn't know that you are thieving from them. And everybody and everything that is important to them, their eyes are on them. Even when they are asleep, they are not sleeping. One eye sleeping, one eye open. So it's not easy to thief from people. That's nothing easy. So God cursed man and said, man will work and will sweat. So now the women have put themselves in the men's curse also. You are telling them, right? Yeah. Because a curse. Why? Because women like curses. Because the traditional thing, the traditional way, is that the man is the one who takes care of the family. The man is the one who goes out. That's why when you have a man who doesn't go out to work, he looks very funny. I don't think any woman likes a man who sits at home 24 hours. Because the normal way, or the normal, the way the Creator established it, it's not for the woman to go out and bring bread. It's the man who's supposed to go out. Yeah. That's the traditional way. Of course, if the man is looking for a job and the wife is working, that's fine. I mean, somebody has to bring money. But now the women, they don't like who they are. They want to be anything. But who? What? They want we pants. They want we walk. So they say they also want to work. So they have actually put themselves, you see, they have, it's like you are committing suicide. They have self-inflicted themselves with the curse of the man. Because it's true. Women struggle. Women go out there and try and look for money. They go through all sorts of things. When the house was created for them to be inside and be sheltered and be protected and be eating and be smiling and be sleeping and looking nice and dressing up and not going anywhere and staying home and all of that. No, they don't want that. They can't live such a life. They want to go out there. They want to also be adventurous. They want to do everything. They're independent. They want to go to combat. Women want to also hold AK-47s and shoot people. They want to fly fighter planes and all kinds of things. It means that the things that men were supposed to suffer, if you put yourself inside, you also suffer the same thing. I was telling some young ladies, you know, during the Easter convention at the Tarmac, they brought up, you know, marriage and the woman and all of that. And I was teaching them something. And I told them, you know what, it's probably you that I can say this to. If I say this anywhere, I'm sure people will eat me up. Because women don't like to hear these things. Yeah, that's the truth. One thing I'll tell you that I told them is that women make one of the greatest mistakes of their lives. And that is to go into marriage expecting something instead of giving something. All of you are sitting there looking for a man to give you something. That's what the Bible says. It. Hey. Ha ha ha. I hope you have eaten tonight. Sister Elsa, are you there? No, is the curse on men that brought this thing up? Because what is happening is that women are you see, I will come to that. We'll come to the curse of women. But looks like the women, they have jumped into the curse of the man. Yeah. Because when you look at curse number two, the global curses, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And thy conception. Men don't conceive. No matter what you do to us, we shall never conceive. You can take us for deliverance. We'll never conceive. We are not prepared to take upon ourselves your curse. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. We don't lie down and push. We lie down and do something else, but we don't lie down and push. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's the case of woman, number two. Now, so what is happening is that the woman has her share of the curses. And then she now says that she will also work. Right? So then, as the man is supposed to sweat and bring bread, the woman says, no. I love you. I want to sweat with you. In fact, some women sweat so much that they have more income and salary than their husbands. And then they are wondering why they have so many troubles. You have combined the curses. When people are trying to shift, take themselves away from you, are combining the curses. So I'm saying that women, I was advising these young girls, I said, you'll be very, very fulfilled if you will identify your purpose as a woman in a man's life by going in to give and not to receive. The Bible says there's more blessing in giving than in receiving. It is when you enter into a relationship expecting you to be treated well and to be made comfortable. That's why you get all the things that you go through. He said, you don't agree with what I'm saying. I'm saying this because the Bible said that when Adam was alone, God was the one who said, you know what? This man needs help. So the woman came into Adam's life to give, to help. Not that she came, if she was expected, if it was just to expect something, God would have never brought her into the picture. You think God is what? God is not wise? That the man needs help. And then he brings somebody inside who will come and also come and worry him and take his help. Oh, you don't understand the Bible that I'm trying to explain. It's hard to understand, right? And that is what frustrates women. Because anytime you expect something, you don't get it. You get a little. So the Bible says something. In the Bible, I don't know whether we remember the verse. I quoted, people, were you there? There's a verse that I quoted. The Bible says that one of the things that the world stands quiet at is a maid who replaces her mistress. In Proverbs chapter, is it Proverbs chapter 30? Yeah. There are things that the earth is disquieted. And then four, that's something, something. And it says one of them is when a maid replaces her mistress, the world will say, how is it possible? Because the maid helps without expecting anything in return. Mistress sit down, paints her fingers, and crosses her legs. So, the activity of the maid is exactly what the wife is supposed to do. So, when she leaves that role and begins to sit down and expect things, and that the maid is now the one who is doing the things that she is supposed to do, the Bible says that she replaces the mistress and the world is amazed. Because the world doesn't know that it is the help that makes the woman functional, makes her of any relevance in a man's life. When you have a maid who is cooking, you have a mistress, you don't cook anymore. Maid is cooking. Maid is setting the table. Maid is washing husband's clothes. Maid is laying the bed. Maid is sweeping the room. What is mistress doing? You are a stranger. Nobody made you a stranger. You have made yourself a stranger. You are a visitor in the house. The real woman in the house is the maid. That's why she replaced the mistress. So, it is when you go in expecting something, that's when you get disappointed, because the way you are expecting it and how you are expecting it is not coming that way. So, instead of doing what you're supposed to do, you are affected by the things you are not getting. A maid has no expectation but gratitude whenever she gets anything in return. Wow. You don't like my message. A global curse is number one. Number two. You see, no matter how emancipated you become HMs, headmistresses, ministers, and all these permanent secretaries, you can't take away what the Creator made.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That is to create a help meet for him.
Yeah.
If you read the Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, that's what the Bible says, a virtuous woman who can find. Do you see how hard the woman works in the house? She doesn't have any job outside, but what she does at home. The Bible says, in the night, her candle goeth not out. And then she rises up very early. It's like a maid. So, you say you want something from the man. So, in fact, that's what makes us check the man who is coming. Check him out. Nah. It's not my type. Is it because a maid does not expect anything? If you buy the maid servant new shoes, she's very grateful. If you give the maid money to go, what? It's like she comes expecting nothing. And the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, you know. When you come in with some expectations and some hope and they don't come to pass, that's why many women don't, because the expectations are, there is nothing for you to expect. It's rather the man who expects something from you, and it's the man's expectation you have to meet. That's why the old type of relationship, like what Sister Elsa, they used to have, Sister Doris, those ones last longer. Yeah, this. I should stay here and preach, right? I like it. Calvin wants to hear what I'm saying, so I stay right here. We ain't going nowhere. I stay right here. I don't know if you are following.
Yeah.
It's a hard pill to swallow. But that's the truth, though. What your purpose in a man's life is to help. You can't help. Forget about happiness. God will not make you get your reward if what he has brought you there to do, you are not doing it. This is a supernatural thing I'm talking to you about. It's a divine thing I'm trying to explain. It's not what the man is saying. It is what God created. It is like God created man and woman, and you say that it's woman and woman. That's what you are trying to say. What God created is a woman to come in and help. And now there are women who are coming in to tech. Techers. Do we have Lighthouse women in this church here? I'm just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. Yeah. So it's like everything you do in the house, your question is, what do you want? How do you want it? How may I be of help? I'm here to serve you. Yeah. It's true, huh? Yeah, it's true. When you have that, you will not have a lot of marital problems. Another thing that Guyanese we do here that I don't know how to describe it is when somebody says that he asking for sex. You asking for sex? There's nothing like asking for sex. Ask who? Who are you that I have to ask you? Lie down. Open your legs. Take off your panties. Wide. I said wide. That's all. And you say, yes, boss man. That's all. I stay right here, Calvin. I'll preach right there. Yeah. Yeah. But it is when the woman wants her, she wants her to be happy. She wants she to be comforted. She wants she. But you see, it is not in there. It is not in the original contract. There was nothing like that. You have to understand me well, though. Because it is when these duties are done that the man now cannot miss you. When you say you are traveling, you say, no, don't go. What will happen to me if you go? Please stay. Because the man, what he's getting, he doesn't know what will happen to him if you go. Yeah. There's a wife here who has an American visa and who is supposed to go to America to visit children. The husband says, so what will happen to me when you go? That's a real marriage. And so I was telling the wife, she was telling me about it. I said, girls, what do you expect him to say? If you go, now he has to go to the kitchen and go and light fire? He go burn himself. Yeah. When you are not there and things seem to roll, you should be afraid. Because your absence should make a very big mark. Because you are the one who's doing this, doing that. Why did I get into this? Global curses we are talking about. Please. Calvin, it's you. The curse of women. Let's go there. It's the women who are trying to take me into the men. The men have their thing. And the women want to come. Jiggy, the women want to come inside. The sweat that you eat, it is on the man. Yeah, but these days, hardly would you get a woman who wants to be a housewife. They can't handle it. They'll get psychological disturbances. They cannot. They can't stay home because they'll get up, they'll go from one wall to another wall. Watch TV, nothing they open TV. Come outside, all kinds of things. Yeah, they'll freak out. Because now the women have gotten used to working hard and working that outside the home. You see, there's work inside the home, but you don't want that. Because if you read the Proverbs 31 woman, she works full time in the house. In fact, she works so much that she's the one who considers a land and buys it. The Bible says the husband is very known at the gates of the city for doing nothing. Everybody know him. Shout man, tall man, buck man. Why? Because he has a wife who has things under control. The Bible says the clothing of the children is not a problem. He says food in the house is not a problem. He said there's nothing. And she's hardworking. She can sew. She can plait. She can cook.
She can wash. She can clean. That's why many of you don't know how to cook and wash and clean. Yeah.
chicken stew all the time. Curry. Ah. Yeah. Tinisha Mingo. It's face powder. Lipstick. Dresses. And very conscious of themselves and walking around like that. You can't do nothing. Wig. Then when you come, you become chummy. Chicken stew. Ah! Because you are not prepared to work at home and discover. You see, there's so many things to do at home. Yeah. When the day comes, there's so much to do in the house. Except that women, just as the creation of God, they have rebelled against the things of the Creator. Just as the world has rebelled and the world is going its own way, women also have rebelled. They don't want their curse alone. They want extra curses. Top up. They want curse top up. But a man will sweat and a woman will go through sorrow in bringing forth children. It's one of the difficult things any human being can go through. A woman bringing forth children. Hey, they come into your stomach and it begins to get big. Gets big. And then you begin to eat a lot. And all of that. Hey. And then we can't sleep. Then you are feeling hot. And then you go to the hospital, finally, check up. They say this. The child is not breathing. The child is not moving. You say, doctor, I've not felt the baby move for the past week. It's been moving all the time. Hey, sorrow! Meanwhile, you want to work again. Oh, you want to use the sorrow to go and work too. He says, your desire shall be to thy husband. Few women don't need a man, if there's any. Every woman looking for a man. Pcha. So when some of you said, I don't want to. When are you going to marry him? I don't know yet. You lie bad. Even church you came looking for man. You are sitting down there as I'm preaching, you're looking through the men to see who is looking at you. It's man that you come here. Who's come here for? Catch you. We know all of y'all. Who is come for man? We know all of y'all. It's man. Who's come here for man? That's why you don't come to church often, because you ain't getting no man here, so you won't come. You ain't getting none. So you stay home, because to you, staying home and looking around at the area is better. That's why you just go to the Sea Wild steady. Because when you come to church, you can get to know man. You see how when women are getting older without a husband, how they feel? When practically nothing is happening. But what is happening is that it's like, minga man yet? Jiggy, can you believe it? How you people struggle and go through a lot of problems? Because no, for the last 2 years, no man has said to you before. You are checking yourself in the mirror to check whether everything is okay with you. Your desire will be to husband and man. And when he comes into your life, he comes to rule over you.
You can't go to church.
I like the way the child fathers rule people's children. People, child fathers. Why are you going with me, child?
Why you put me? Why you take me, child, to the long, long, long late in the night like that? Don't take me, child, nowhere. They run your life. Wow, the curse is working. If you like, when we close, don't go immediately with a child. You see? He's calling. Tomorrow he's coming by you. Your ruler is coming. He has some questions for you. Where you went? Why so late? Me when you go nowhere with me, child. Yeah. He shall rule over thee. Global curse number 3. The curse by Noah. We'll focus on the curse by Noah in the coming days and weeks. Okay, because it's a very, very serious one. The curse by Noah. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." This is where black people come in. So since we are black people, we'll zero in on this curse from next week by the grace of God. Servant of servants. It's a global curse. Number 4, the curse on Israel. The curse of Israel. The curse on Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15 says that, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." God cursed Israel when he said that if they were not going to listen to him, obey him, then that is he started with, he spoke about blessings, where you be the head and not the tail, you shall be above only and not beneath. You're going out, you're coming will be a blessing. That blessing that God spoke about in Deuteronomy chapter 27. If you wish, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 27. 28, sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 28. So if I were you, if you're a woman, I'll just keep to my curse. Stay in your corner. Yes, yeah, a good policy. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." He said, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep." Then he goes on and on and tells them all the blessings. Then he says, verse 15, which we just read, he said, "It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." He says, "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field." He said, whether you are home or you are away, whether you migrate or not, whether you go to the village or you come to Georgetown, you are cursed. He says, "Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store." Your basket where you keep in your rice bucket, hey, it will be empty for the rest of your life. You can lay your hands and bless the bucket, but the bucket will refuse to carry rice.
The Bible says, if thou refuse to listen to the voice of God. So this is a curse that God cursed Israel with. That if you will not listen to me, if you not listen to my voice and do what I've asked you to do, then you are cursed. It's a global curse because Israel, it was from the beginning and it is still working. Number five, finally. The curse on those who hate Israel. The curse on those who hate Israel. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says that, and I'll bless them that bless thee. This is a blessing for Jacob, for Israel. It says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 27 and verse 29 says, let people serve thee. This is when Isaac was blessing Jacob when Esau was late. He said, nations and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So there's a curse on those who hate Israel. You may probably not understand it, but is it the Israelis or the Jews are the people of God? The Jews are a descendant of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Now, God loves the Israelis and the Jews so much that he made a statement many years ago. Anybody who blesses the Jews will be blessed. Anybody who curses the Jews will be cursed. So anybody who doesn't like the Israelis or the Israelites or the Jews is cursed. Look around the Middle East. All the countries that don't like the Jews. Look, check whether they have peace in their countries. They have tried. They are trying. But they cannot take away the Jews. You see, after so many years, there was no country called Israel, you know. Israel wasn't the country. Because by their disobedience, Bible, what the Bible said came to pass. God scattered them abroad from their country. So it was, isn't it 1940 something? Second World War, something like that. That was when they came back. But all of them who were outside abroad, they were rich. So they put all their money together because they are blessed. Wherever they are blessed in the city, they are blessed in the village. He said what? They're going out and they're coming in will be a blessing. So wherever they were blessed. There are many Americans that are Jews. American actors, American movie producers, American politicians, most of them are Jews. Many of these rich people in America, they're all Jews. Europe, Jews. The only place, the last time I saw a Jew at Chedi Jagan International Airport, I was very shocked. I said, Jews, no, Jews are not where there's no money. I said, maybe this person, they got lost or something. They were. In transit, Jews don't live in Guyana. Wherever Jews are, there's money. They're all over Europe. They're rich. Very rich. People have tried to find out why and how, but the people are rich. I mean, just by the fact that God says that anybody who blesses you will be blessed. Anybody who curses you will be cursed. God has blessed them. Now, so they fought and got back their land in the Middle East. You see, and they have forced to maintain the small land that they have. All the countries around them don't like them. Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Jordan. All these countries don't like the Jews. In fact, even the Palestinians who are sharing the same land with them don't like them.
Jerusalem, where God chose in the days of David to put his name there and made that Jerusalem as his capital. The city of David, that's Jerusalem. That's the city of God. That's where Solomon built his temple. It is the same place that Palestinians are saying they want as their capital. The Palestinians want East Jerusalem, where the temple is, where, I mean, the rich heritage of the Bible is. The Palestinians want there to be their capital. So they want a nation by themselves, and they want East Jerusalem as their capital. That's where Solomon's temple and all these places are. Now, they have been fighting all this. Arafat started. Well, I don't know who started before Arafat. Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO. Yasser Arafat, with that black and white thing over his head. That Mongo. He tried. Suicide bomb up to today. They cannot take out the Israelis. Now, the Israelis are too blessed. Anybody who doesn't like them, God doesn't like you. So what many people talk about is that the Israelis have come and they have taken the Palestinians, they've taken their land. Any secular person who you talk to about the Middle East problems, they will tell you the Jews are wicked, the Jews are this, the Jews are that, they've taken somebody's land. But you see, when God spoke to Abraham and said, this land is for you and your children, nobody was there. And when God spoke to Abraham about that land also, people were also living there anyway. Do you think when God took the Israelites from Egypt to Canaan, were people not there? So it is those people that God had wanted Joshua to have killed all of them. They didn't kill all of them. That is why these people are still there fighting them up to today. So the people are just walking with the Bible, like their current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He's one of the most, I love him so much. He's one of the most radical prime ministers of Israel I've ever encountered. He's straight in the Bible. He says, never. When Obama made some statements about they should stop building some, you know, they were doing a scheme somewhere, but a Gaza Strip in the area there, Obama told them to stop. Otherwise, you know, to give them a warning to stop. And he didn't mind him. Even if he didn't like Obama from then. They are prospering in that small place. Can you imagine that you live in a place where enemies have surrounded you? And you are still prospering. It's too miraculous. Because Iran has nuclear. It is because of the Jews that George Bush went to Iraq to fight Saddam Hussein, you know. Because they know that if Saddam Hussein has nuclear weapons, he will shoot it into Israel. People hate them. But the hatred has not ended up anywhere. Now, they have one of the best intelligence in the whole world. They call them the Mossad. Intelligence, secret information. There's nobody in the world, not the Americans, not the Russians, but the Israelis. I heard a story of, I think it was what, the first Assad, Syrian president, who died before his son, who succeeded him, and now his whole country is being torn apart. They wanted to kill him. Because Syria and Israel were contending for the Golan Heights. It's a mountainous area between the two countries where the Syrians are saying it's for them. And the Israelis took over that in 1967 when they came and they fought with Yitzhak Rabin as the commander of the army. They fought. And they took over the Golan Heights. And since then, the Israelis are the ones managing the Golan Heights. And it's a mountainous area full of mountains between the two countries. The person who controls there has an advantage. Because it's mountains between us. So if I get control over it, I can push army, you know, soldiers and push weapons there. By the time you realize I'm on a mountain and I'm shooting into your country. Yeah. The Israelis have taken over the Golan Heights up to today. So they have an advantage. If the Syrians misbehave, they also misbehave. Now, Assad came to, they went to Jordan. I think one of the, Ken Abdullah also died, the former Jordanian king. The one who is on now is the son. When his father died, you know, all the people in the Middle East, they went for a funeral in Jordan. That is when they pull a trick on Assad. They wanted to assassinate him. But I think they heard that he was sick. He was terminally ill. So they wanted to confirm. and make sure that it is so. So they just leave him for him to just die. When they went for that funeral in Jordan, Assad brought his own portable toilet. He's not taking no chance. He's not going to no organized toilet for somebody to be hiding there. And then by the time he gets there, somebody, you know, corner him and take him away. No. So he came with his own plane like normal. He has his own portable washroom. So as he was walking around the funeral and everything, if he wanted to go to the washroom, it is a washroom that they brought from Syria. That's the one he goes to use with guards and everybody around. Could you believe that from that funeral, the Israelis got his urine sample to test for the disease? Yeah. And when they confirmed that he was terminally ill, they said, leave him, he'll die soon. They didn't go and bomb him anymore, and he died. There was this guy, intelligence, Mossad, the whole world. There was this guy who was Hitler's, one of Hitler's right-hand men, who organized the Jews, the killing of the Jews in Germany. After the World War, after that war, the guy ran away to Argentina. He took on a different name. He moved to live in one of the villages in Argentina, right here on the South American continent. And he continued to live his life quietly. The Jews managed to trace him. Somebody who had, I mean, he lost an identity, no passport, has become an Argentinian. He uses some other name. He lives in the village doing his business, going to work and coming, everything for many years. Somehow, they managed to track him down. So, there was a celebration, a national celebration in Argentina. And the Israelis were invited. The prime minister was invited. So that's the opportunity they took. Some guys went there earlier. The prime minister came with his plane. They came. The guys followed the guy. They knew the bus he would normally take. They followed him to his house. And when he entered his house, they entered the house. And they mentioned his name. Calvin. The man gets shocked. Because for so many years, nobody called him like that. And then they put something on his nose and then, you know, he was knocked out. They carried him. That was the day that the celebration had ended and the Israeli prime minister was going back with his private plane. It's a movie. And the Israeli prime minister's plane, you can't go there and go and search. So as they were trying to pack bags and pack things, the man, they had put the man in some case or something. They put him in the plane. They shipped him to Israel. When they got to Israel, they put him to, they trialed him in their own court. They gave him their own lawyer. And they tried him in their own court and sentenced him to death. The Argentinians became very wild because they knew him. They allowed him to come in. They gave him asylum. They helped him to change everything. So it was an embarrassment to the Argentinian government. I'm telling you, so many years. It's on YouTube. You can go and watch it. So many years. The guy didn't know that people were watching him. The third thing to even explain to you, for you to know how blessed the Israelis are, and if you don't like them, you will not be liked by God. There's a curse on those who hate Israel. So we love Jerusalem. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Hey, when I see a Jew, I get excited. I see Jesus' brothers and sisters. It's fantastic, yeah. Normally they have this long hair on the right here, a long hair on the left. They have a little black tail on their head. They have black tails. They're very, very, very unique. They don't mix, black people, they don't mix with black people at all. They are rich. Yeah. Now, there's a system, a defense system that Air Force One has. Air Force One meaning the presidential plane of the U.S. president. There's no missile, no weapon that can bring the U.S. Air Force One down. The plane has a repellent. It detects when you are following him, or when, let's say Air Force One takes off and somebody launches a surface-to-air missile against the plane detects it. It shows on the pilot's whatever board. And then when it comes close, the plane has an inbuilt something around the body of the plane that repels and neutralizes the armor, the bullets or the missile. And so the missile comes back to return to sender. So Air Force One, you can't bring it down. You can't bring it down. Now, that technology, I hear it costs millions of dollars. The only aeroplanes, commercial planes that have that same system is LR, Israeli Airlines. Every single, just like Caribbean Airlines that comes here, all of the fleet of their planes, every plane has that. It's not Air Force One only. They don't have Air Force One. All their planes are like that. All their citizens are just important as Obama or Trump. Can you believe it? Because that's what it really means. All the planes they have the same thing that if Trump is in the plane, you cannot shoot him. All the people on board LR. Because you know what happens? When a plane flies out of Jerusalem, it travels over the airspace of the enemies. When it's coming to land, it passes through the airspace to come and land. So, what do you do? You can't take chances at all. So they are not going to say, oh, when we are coming, they will say, oh, well, we beg you. This plane has women and children, so please, don't shoot us today. Maybe tomorrow you can discuss and see what can happen. No. If you try morning, if you try afternoon, if you try evening, you can try any time. They are flying. You can't get them. They are the only airline that if they land in Guyana, no Guyanese can touch the plane. From cleaning to refueling, they do it themselves. They bring their own engineers. Wherever they are, they go to America, they go to Europe, wherever, whichever country they land, LR does not use personnel on the ground where they have landed. They don't. They don't want no Gentile to come and touch Jewish aeroplanes. The Gentiles are not clean. Yeah. They don't joke. Very special people. Very special people. They are the only country that receives a lot of money from America. America gives a lot of money to countries, even including Guyana. You have a U.S. government doing this, U.S. aid, Peace Corps. They come around, they go into the interior, they do this project, some solar system, something, this, sponsored by the U.S. government and all of that. The only country that takes or sucks a lot of the money from America is Israel. The Bible says, if you don't like Israel, God also doesn't like you. Muslims don't understand it like that. The Muslims don't like the Jews at all. And that's why they are also cursed. Because God has said it, that anybody who hates Israel, who hates Jerusalem, I will also hate him. Because the only country in the whole world that God chose as his capital is the city of David, Jerusalem. That's where the only temple built. The temple that God said that, you know, David said, you know what? I am a king. You have brought me up. You have elevated me. You have exalted me. I live. Look at my palace. Look at my house. Look at the things I have. So much. But that ark of God, that little box that we say God is inside, it is under some tent. So David said, no, I can't allow this to be. How can you bless me like this? And then I have to come and worship you in a tent like that. I want to put you in a big fancy house. God said, but are you getting disrespectful? I don't want you to do anything for me. Okay, if you say, fine, but I don't want you to do it. I want your son Solomon to do it. So the temple that Solomon built was supposed to be a house for God to stay inside. And that house or that temple was not built in Guyana. It wasn't built in Barbados. It wasn't built in Argentina. It wasn't built in anywhere. It was built in Jerusalem. In other words, the only location on earth that God chose to come and dwell was in Jerusalem. How can you curse those people and then God will be happy with you? How? So you may not know about Jews, you may not know about Israelis. People talk of them as bad people, they've taken the Palestinian land and all of that. It's not like that. God gave the land to Abraham and his descendants. And they are using the Bible to stay on the land, to possess the land and use the land. The whole wide world, UN, this, that. All kinds of things are against them. But they are there, they are prospering, they are doing well. I hear when you go to Jerusalem, it's a lot of sun. The place is like a desert. There's not so much that you think would have come out of that place. Yet these people, top, rich people. Steven Spielberg, the guy who put together, what is it, Jurassic Park? Yeah, Steven Spielberg. He's a Jew. All these people are rich people. And they give a lot of money back to their country. They have a system, a defense system in Israel, in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. If any country fires a missile, the sirens begin to sound. Everybody should take cover. Most of the houses in Israel, they have underground. They have bunkers. So when they hear the siren, they go to the ground floor, they open up, they go down there and they cover themselves up. If you blow the top, they are still down there. Because a bomb can only affect what is on the surface. What is down here, you can't catch it. You are too blessed to be stressed. Stand to your feet and put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll focus on the curse of Ham in the coming weeks. I'm sure you've learned something tonight. I gave you some marriage tips also. Even though it's not marriage counseling. Yeah, too much information. It will be on podcast, I believe. Maxwell is back, so it must be on podcast, huh? Wow. The Bible says, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Michelle Griffith. That's the truth. So when you're looking for a man with a car, you enable work. Hey, you better start walking now. Looking for a man with money. Hey. You're looking for a good looking man. You're going to serve. That's your purpose. Whether it's a shout man or a tall man or a fat man. Or you have to focus on your service. Can you believe how God sees us? God sees women. Kezia, how God sees women? How the women they like, they pick and choose? Hey. And God says, I have built some help things in you that you must use to help. You're sitting now looking for. You've shut down, you've locked up those qualities inside. You're looking for happiness and comfort. Looking for love. You know, forgive love to get love. How much love you give to get love?
Oh, it's a beautiful question.
Chicken stew. You call that love? Hallelujah. Curry. 7 curry, 6 curry, 5 curry, 4 curry, 3 curry, 2 curry, 1 curry.
Curry.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord,
for the things I made it.
When it's all about you,
it's all about you, Jesus.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to pray. It's something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself, it's not what you have required. Oh Lord, you search much deeper within. To the ways things are there, you look into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve.
Though
I'm weak and poor, and all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. Lord, you search much deeper within. To the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for explaining to us the curses that exist globally. Thank you for even the word that came out for every single person. I know when you speak to us like this, even though it's general, you have points, you have statements, you have phrases, you have words, and even a word for every single person who came into your presence. I thank you that none is leaving your presence the same as they came. Thank you, Father, for transformation. Thank you, Father, for change. Thank you, Father, for even being better people after hearing this word. Thank you for becoming glorious by the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.